the completion of scriptures and what it means. And basically, my position about the completion of the scriptures, that it brings to an end, you know, the gift of gifted men and the gift of spiritual gifts in the church. 1 Corinthians 12:28. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And my point to you is that with the completion of the Word of God, the written Word of God, it brought an end to the gifts that God had set in the church there, 1 Corinthians 12:28. It brought an end to the gift of gifted men. These were not just offices, but rather these were gifts of gifted men. And then spiritual gifts, or sign gifts, as Paul would categorize the second categories of gift when he says, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. But now let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1. Okay, one at verse 25. Now in verse 25, Paul makes this statement, whereof I am made a minister according to the, I'm starting in verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the gift, according rather to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now there's a number of ideas here that parallels statements in other places in Paul's writing. For example, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1, he writes over there, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Wherefore, when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. But it's an interesting statement that he makes, wherefore, when ye read. And then he also says, particularly this statement, he says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Now, in the defining revelation is has been defined as the content of God's communication to man. Now, again, in Ephesians 3 and verse 2, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. But the idea of revelation from God, subject to being read, which would imply, and more than imply, more than just an inference, the writing down of that revelation. Now, the writing down of the contents of God's communication to man is called inspiration, or called scripture. Now, in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But all scripture, and the word scripture is the word graphe. We get our word graffiti from it. And it simply is a reference to the writings, or the book, you might say. And again, taking the idea in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me to you to fulfill or to complete the Word of God. Now, again, what we're looking at here is the idea that the completion of Scripture, the completion of the writing, the completing of the book, brought an end to the gifts of gifted men and to the gifts of spiritual and the gift of spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, and so these other ideas in Ephesians, I'm tying these in because Paul talks about the revelation, about the dispensation of the grace of God. And when you're talking about the dispensation of the grace of God, you're talking about revelation from God given to Paul to be preached unto the Gentiles, or to be presented, and another way you might say presented to the church also, which is the body of Christ. But clearly, revelation given to God to be given. But that revelation, and here's my point, that revelation is submitted to writing. And that revelation that God gives to Paul is said to fulfill or to complete the Word of God. Now, what are we talking about here? Go back for a moment to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10, we learn something very significant. And what we learn from Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10 is that God has a twofold purpose. In Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Okay? That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, headship. And again, in Ephesians 1:10, the significant thing that we want to pick up on is that God has a two purpose. One concerns the earth, the heavens, and the other concerns the earth. Now, we call that prophecy and the mystery. Prophecy is God's purpose concerning the mystery concerning heaven. Whether you're talking about the earth or we're talking about the heavens, God designed to bring the criminality of the universe unto himself, under the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God began to communicate his prophetic purpose and had that committed to writing. For example, let me say it this way. From what we've seen thus far, we can infer more than just an inference, by the way, that God initiated the writing of a book that is completed by the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. Let's look at Exodus 17 and 14. Exodus 17 and verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, now notice, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. My point to you simply is this. God commanded Moses to write in a book. And that verse, as well as several others, can demonstrate that God commanded a book to be written. And he determined the information, he determined the content of that book. And the initial writing of that book concerns the prophetic program or prophecy, what God's purpose was concerning the earth. Now, when you come to Paul, and the revelation God gives to Paul, that concerns the mystery, God's hidden purpose concerning the heavenly places, and how it is that God is going to bring about the governmental, reclaim the governmental authority of the heavenly places back unto himself under the headship of Christ through the instrumentality of the church, which is the body of Christ. Again, Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, God is going together. In other words, God is going to bring together those two purposes. His purpose concerning the heavens. His purpose concerning the earth was made known from the foundation of the world. His purpose concerning the earth was kept secret from the foundation of the world until he made it known to and through the Apostle Paul. But both purposes, that eternal purpose, God began to have that information written down in a book. He communicated the revelation to men and then required them to write that information down in a book. That book that God began to have written would become the authority, would become the basis for guiding and governing the people of God. Whether you're talking about Israel as a nation, or whether you're talking about the church, which is the body of Christ, that written word became the absolute and final authority when it comes to knowing the mind and the will of God. Okay? So, Paul talks about, again, a dispensation of God given to him to fulfill the Word of God. He calls that dispensation in Ephesians 3:2 the dispensation of the grace of God. That's revelation. And the content of that revelation is the writings of Paul. When Paul writes these things down, that is the content of that revelation being written down. And that, when he writes it down, and it is correlated as part of that book that God had began to have been written, beginning back with Moses, and now is finalized with the revelation that God has now given to Paul, and the revelation that God gives to Paul, and here's what I've been striving at, laboring, trying to get across here, is that the revelation that God gives to Paul completes the book. It completes the scripture. And it completes the scriptures in that it is the complete disclosure or the full disclosure of God's eternal purpose, which is set forth in Ephesians 1:10. That eternal purpose, again, is to reclaim the governmental authority of the universe back unto himself under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I have you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. At verse 24 and 25. Now those two verses says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And my point here is, the prophetic program and the mystery program is about God bringing about the universal reconciliation of the governmental authority of the universe back unto himself under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in prophecy, Israel is the agency by which he does that in the earth. And according to the mystery, the church, which is the body of Christ, where there's neither Jew nor Gentile, but a new creature, a new creation, is the agency by which God does that with regards to the heavenly places. All of that, my point, all of that is submitted to writing. And when that revelation is completely disclosed to Paul, then the writing or the scriptures are completed. There's nothing more to be added. Why? Because there's the full disclosure with the revelation of the mystery of God's eternal purpose concerning the heavens and concerning the earth. There's nothing else to be on concern in the reconciling of the governmental authority of the universe back onto himself before you move out into eternity. So in Colossians 1:25 through 7, there possibly is teaching us that the revelation of the mystery given to him fulfills or completes the word of the written word of God. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians. Anyway, that, you know, in 1 Corinthians 10:58, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse 8, I'm sorry. That makes what Paul writes here make more sense. And last of all, you know, as one out of due time. It lends greater weight to what Paul says here, because there is no new revelation given. When God has made known his prophetic purpose, and when God has made known his mystery purpose, there is no new revelation made known. There's no new revelation had. It's the completion, or the, you know, the fulfilling of the word of God, or the completing of the written revelation of God. And just in essence, the completion of divine revelation. And of course, that revelation being submitted to writing means a completion of the written word. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:8-13, I'm not going to post all of these, but just to start out in what 1 Corinthians, I'm going to just simply read down through 1 Corinthians 13:8-13. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And another passage like it is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And God, you know, gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And specifically in verse 13, he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now here's the point. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 to 13, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, these are both parallel subjects, parallel ideas that Paul is communicating here, and consistently, though in different terminology, different words, but communicating about the same subject and the same absolute authoritative source for knowing things pertaining to God. You no longer have God making himself known through gifted men and through sign gifts, through the giving of spiritual gifts. He's no longer communicating through those means, through those processes. Again, Scripture is just, you remember, all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. And Scripture is a reference to the writing, to the book itself. I submit to you Matthew 22 and 31. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 31. Matthew 22 and verse 31, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, Jesus said to the Sadducees, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, have ye not read that which was spoken to you by God, saying? And my point about Scripture, that's what Scripture is. It is the Word of God. It is the Book of God. It's a book that God commanded to be written. That's why it's called the Word of God. Because the words written on the page in that book are God's Word. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Scripture, and that word Scripture there, is God-breathed, and indicating that the words written down, the content of the revelation that written down, the contents of God's communication to man. That is, what is written down is the content of God's communication to man. The Bible is not a book that contains the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God, because it's writing. Remember, no Scripture is of any private interpretation. The idea there is that what is written down there is God's Word, and the Scriptures are subject to the Scriptures in their interpretation. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Now, a prophet was God's mouthpiece. And so whether you're talking about any number of prophets, one prophet, two prophets, they would be consistent in their disclosure of things pertaining to God. Okay? Because they spoke forth the Word of God. And God's Word would be consistent. But in our ability to interpret God's Word is by verse with verse, Scripture with Scripture. Okay? It is not us assigning meaning to the Word of God, but rather exegesis is taking from God's Word its meaning by comparing verse with verse. Okay? And that's how you arrive at the full assurance of understanding. That's how you're taught of God. You take God's Word and let God's Word interpret itself. Okay? But that's what Scripture is. Again, to communicate my point, God commanded a book, God initiated the writing of a book that is completed by the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul's writings also are considered Scripture. They were considered to be the Word of God. And rightly so, because what is God giving to Paul? God has given to Paul the revelation of the mystery. And this revelation that God is giving to Paul is to be submitted to writing as the revelation that God gave to Moses and the prophets concerning his prophetic purpose. 1 Corinthians 14:37. 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And so as Paul writes, received the revelation of the mystery from the Lord and then submitted to writing, then he commands the churches to copy these and circulate them among the churches. But that was a process that was ongoing until the full disclosure of the revelation of the mystery was given to Paul. When that happened, and Paul penned his final words with regards to the mystery, then the revelation was complete. The book was completed. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. 2 Peter chapter 3, 15 and 16. Peter writes there, "And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath what? Written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures. So Paul's writings are considered scripture. And so when Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 through 27, that the revelation that God gives to him fulfills or completes the Word of God, that's exactly what it does. Now, what that means for you and I, number one, it means an end to the gift of gifted men and spiritual gifts. It means an end to those. Those gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:28, 1 Corinthians 13:14 there, well, chapter 12, 13, and 14 that Paul is talking about the gift, the spiritual gifts, the gifts of gifted men and the gifts of sign gifts, the giving of the sign gifts. In 13:8, he makes it abundantly clear that these gifts would cease, they would fail, they would no longer operate, dispensate grace of God. So it cannot be referenced. Now get to the point. That when he says these things would cease, the gifts, they would end. The end there, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. God does not wait, number one, till the end of the dispensation of grace. That's number one. He doesn't wait till the end of the dispensation of grace. It would be pointless. And certainly the end cannot be the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot be Christ coming for us, and it cannot be a reference to our going to heaven. These things are said to end before now abideth. Paul says in 13, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. In other words, the gifts would come to an end long before the dispensation of the great God would mature. Okay. And the thing that would about... Okay. Now, he says there, and now about his faith, hope, and charity. And my point is, God doesn't wait till the end of the dispensation of the grace of God. God doesn't wait till the second coming of Christ. God doesn't wait to get to heaven before to be no longer tossed and thrown by every wind of darkness. And the gifts of that man and the spiritual gifts, the gifts, those are on the way long before. And what stands then, what replaces them, is the completed written revelation of God. And we are shut up totally and completely to written revelation today. That's why we say the Bible is the sole and final authority. And that is a faith practice for you and I as believers. We are a pillar of a book. And that's the way God has it established for us. Okay. So what that means for us, we're not to be given to extra biblical revelation. And again, we have an authoritative source. And it is the only absolute authority on the matters of what's right and wrong in the universe today. And it's in the written word of God. Like I say, he doesn't wait till the end of the dispensation of grace. He doesn't wait till the second coming of Christ. He doesn't wait till you get to heaven. This is something, number one, those gifts, they're terminated before the end of this dispensation, and that's a significant thing to take note of. So, like you say, whatever it is, however people want to define it, the revelation that God was given to Paul, and once that revelation was completed, make those gifts of gifted men and the giving of spiritual, the sign gifts, make those of no longer of no necessity for them anymore.